This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9. The business station.
Okay, it's time for Ringgit and Cents, as the man says. Hi, I'm David Chiu, together with Lim Soon Heng here.
Hi. Hey, good morning, David.
Morning. And what do you have for us today?
Well, today we have a Forex trader who is also an educator. But just before we get to him, you know, I just kind of want a little recap on about what we did last week.
Okay.
We had some people recommend Christmas gifts which are of a financial nature. And this week some more came in. Very interesting one for preteens is that one person recommended getting the kid involved in school activities, selling drinks, organizing raffle draw. So to teach the kid how to create income.
Oh, okay. Interesting. What about if your kid is much older?
Much older. Again, it's an internship with a trading business to teach this kid about the market. The fresh graduate, car, some blue chip shares, and for the grown up about to be married child, life insurance, down payment towards their first home, and then aging parents. While there are lots of interesting things like, you know, fixed deposits and shares in REITs, the thing is, spend time with them.
I mean, time is money after all.
So, you have a college kid. So, what are you getting this college kid for Christmas?
Rotan. No. Basically, you know, a lot of parents always give the wrong kind of gifts. We think we give them what they need or what, they, you know, by giving them what they want. But we are actually not giving them what's good for them, actually. Isn't it? But several people did recommend financial literacy workshops and also courses for the first three groups, which is, of course, the younger generation. Getting the young to be married once, their first home, and then cash and time for the older, aging parents. Yeah, my father, he gave me the down payment for a car when I graduated. So the rest I had to pay on my own. So that basically taught me quite a fair bit. And, you know.
Good. Really good.
Interesting as well. Okay. Tell you what. Let's get to our interview right now.
Who do we have? I talked to Mario Singh, a Forex trader, and he thinks Forex trading can be made simple. Mario is an educator also and the founder and CEO of FX1 Academy.
Okay. Let's listen and see.
First, Mario, tell me, how is Forex trading regulated or not regulated, like the trading of other securities?
Okay. Forex in the entire world, retail Forex trading, it's considered an OTC market. Now, OTC stands for over-the-counter. So essentially, right, if you look at, say, Bursa Malaysia, or if you look at, say, the Singapore Stock Exchange, those are called exchange-traded. So people enter trades through the exchange. The retail Forex market is slightly different. All right, many brokers or many banks worldwide, they tend to quote you different prices because it's called over-the-counter. So essentially, with the aspect that it's OTC, that's where regulation comes a little bit different. So in terms of regulation, it's probably in every country that has their own jurisdiction. So the regulation is country-specific, it's not worldwide.
So in Malaysia, how? What's the scenario?
Well, in Malaysia, let me say this. There is a cloud that some people may think that Forex trading is illegal, but it's entirely not the case. It's purely a misconception. And the reason for that misconception is because there are some scams. I mean, it's not just happening in Malaysia. It happens all over the place in Singapore. So it puts a cloud on people's head that, hey, people are cheating my money. It must be illegal, but it's entirely not the case.
Since this is the scenario, what then really are the risks trading Forex?
The first key thing is this. Many people have an idea that Forex is a get-rich-quick scheme. So, okay, once I put in $5,000, I'm going to make $1 million by next Friday. So many people have that idea that you can make a lot of money and lose a lot. So inherently, I'll say the first thing, in terms of the biggest risk in trading Forex is managing your own expectations. Many people have an idea that it's high risk, high return, but it's not. All right, the true risk here is what I would call a lack of education. So when someone really takes on the education, and let's split that up, right? Education means simply three things: strategies, money management, and psychology, how you manage your mind. Once you have these three things, you mitigate risk entirely.
Make it sound very simple. In fact, in your CV, say that you are here to educate people on how to trade in Forex the simple way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what exactly is the simple way when trading in itself is something quite complicated and not something that everybody can go into? People who are trained Bank Negara folks at one time lost some huge amount of money. Mm-hmm. So surely it cannot be that simple.
It's a great question. For a start, the things that I teach, they are simple. I always make a sentence where I say that Forex is simple but not easy. When I say it's simple, there's only that few rules to grasp. How do you trade an uptrend? How do you trade a downtrend? How do you trade the range? How do you put in your stops and your profit targets? It is entirely about that area. Now, when we go further, when I say it's simple but not easy, the not easy part is how you manage yourself. Let me give you an example. Some people ask me, Mario, are you trying to tell me the simple stuff that you teach, is it better than the banks? You know, how can you compete with the banks' infrastructure, their sophistication? They have like 10 screens on their trading floor. How can you compete with that? And I always say the same thing. I say, look, if you look at an example, over the last few months, right, you had a trader in SocGen, one of France's biggest banks, that lost $4 billion. You had a trader in UBS who lost billions as well. What really is the difference here? The difference is the guy who pulls the trigger. So a key statement here has got nothing to do with banks' infrastructure. It's got everything to do with the trader who pulls that trigger. And here's the part where I say, in terms of simplicity, it's really about managing your own emotions.
You make it way too simple. Although I know talking about trading with folks, regardless whether it's in the securities market or Forex, they say the biggest problem is managing their own expectations. You know, when they see the thing going up and up and up, since even though they have their strike price, they just say, no. It will go higher yet. And then the next thing they know is they're sitting on a loss.
That's a brilliant example. It's precisely because of that example that people do not know how to manage their emotions. Oh man, I'm making profit. Should I just let the price run and just take more? Until they realize that, hey, you know, after a while, they end up losing. So it's really about having and following a trading plan. Where should you get out if you're hitting a certain loss? Where should you get out if you're hitting a certain profit? Another example, most recently, the guy who lost billions in UBS, he actually put it on his Facebook. He said, I need a miracle. Now, here's the key thing, right? If he actually knew, if he had a predetermined price where he will get out in terms of if the trade goes against him, if he had a predetermined price when to get out, and if he got out early, why do you need to be in a position where you need a miracle? So really, again, it's all about managing your own emotions. And the key part is this. Let me give a solution. How do we manage our emotions? The answer is to have a trading plan. Have a specific price that once it goes against you, that is the price you get out and you take that small loss.
Yeah, like they say, something about the plans of mice and men. You know, you plan. Let's go to this part about, okay, how do we mitigate our risk? For me, one of the questions that have come up in the context of Forex is that it is very speculative. So if you are trading in something speculative, it's like gambling.
Love that question. I get that question a lot. Mario, is trading gambling because it's speculative?
I'm talking to Mario Singh, the founder and CEO of FX1 Academy. Coming up, we'll find out his answer whether Forex trading is gambling.
Bickering frustrates Malaysians. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Ringgit and Sense, and my guest is Mario Singh, the founder and CEO of FX1 Academy that instructs on Forex trading. Mario, Forex trading is considered speculative, no? Isn't it therefore gambling?
Let me say this. You are gambling in anything if you don't know what you're doing. Are we in a position to say that bonds in the world are safe? No, because 3 years ago, Lehman bonds, when it crashed, Lehman, when it filed for bankruptcy in 2008, $640 billion company, largest bankruptcy filing in the world. And you had those shockwaves all over Asia as well, whether you're from Singapore, Malaysia, Thailand, or Philippines. So really, is Forex speculative? Again, it is a misconception. I know traders who are literally making consistent returns month after month simply because they understand education, they know how to manage themselves, they have specific strategies, and they know how to take profits and where to set their stop losses. Again, it's all about a trading plan. Essentially, when you lose, you take a small loss, but when you win, you take bigger moves. So entirely, the wins that you take far exceed those that you lose, and you end up becoming consistently profitable.
See, when you trade in securities on the stock exchange, I mean, you can approach it through the fundamentals of a company or you look at the technicals. In the context of Forex trading, what are we looking at when there are no fundamentals?
That's great. Well, I beg to differ. I don't think there's no fundamentals. I've got a great sentence that I share with my students. It's called fundamentally driven, technically executed. Now, here's an example. Now, let's just look at Forex and the stock market. Now, when you trade stocks, essentially, you are trading a unit of a company. When you trade Forex, you are trading a unit of a country. So to truly understand global flow of money, we've got to understand how countries move.
That makes it really more complicated. I mean, studying a company in the context of its industry and then the country, that's but to study a whole country, and when you're trading currencies of two countries, you need a PhD, no?
Well, you don't exactly need a PhD. Now, I'll give the listeners one start for them to understand this. So when you talk about fundamentals, here's the key thing. When there's risk on, the first key thing is to understand what is the sentiment in the market. Are people feeling confident? Do they want to take risk or do they want to move away from risk? Essentially, in the forex market, in terms of the current climate, when people are feeling arrogant or confident and they want to make more money, there's about five currencies that will move, and they are the Aussie dollar, the Kiwi dollar, the Canadian dollar, the euro, and the pound. When people are scared and they are fearful, there are three currencies that will move, and that's the US dollar, the Swiss franc, and the Japanese yen. It really is as simple as that.
But even if you have those currency, the variation goes, the fluctuations happen day to day based on things that are happening, which we sometimes don't have access in terms of the information. We don't have access to that kind of information.
That is a brilliant question. Let me share another statement. Our job as a trader is not to predict. Our job is to react. What that means is when we pull up a chart, we allow the charts to tell us the story. So we don't predict and say, oh, I think prices are going to reach here. I think prices are going to reach there. It's going to be very painful for a trader to start predicting prices. So what it really is the difference between prediction and reaction? Well, prediction is in the previous example, when a trader says, oh, I think prices will be here. I think prices will be there. The difference in reaction simply means, oh, I don't know where the prices are going to be, but I know if it reaches there, I will do this. If it reaches here, I will do that.
Okay, coming back to the basic question then. If I want to go into trading Forex, what are the things I need to look out for so that I don't get caught up in scams, that I know this company is legit? And then what do I need to learn to successfully trade?
Fantastic. Let me break it down like that. You need two things to be successful as a Forex trader. Number one, you need world-class education. And number two, you need a world-class broker. So let's talk about world-class education first. To have world-class education in Forex, you need three things. You need strategies, you need money management skills, and you need a trading plan so that you will know how to subject your greed, your fear, your hope, and to a certain extent, your ignorance, all right, a trader's ignorance. All that should be put into a trading plan so that you never trade based on emotions. You're always trading based on a plan. Number two, let's talk about broker. Even if you have world-class education, and if you have a lousy broker, what do I mean when I say a lousy broker? Well, the definition is if you have a broker that's essentially trading against you, it is not in our interest to be choosing a broker that trades against us. Very quickly, two points in terms of how we would choose a broker. Choose a broker that doesn't trade against you, and choose a broker that literally gives you the peace of mind in terms of your safety of funds.
I've talked to a guy who was trading Forex and for an international bank. And he said, one, the job is lonely. Two, you get burnt out. And three, after a long time looking at the screen and thinking of those things, you get disconnected from reality.
I fully agree with that. There is a saying in our community also that Forex can be a lonely man's job. It is true to a certain extent because when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, it's just you and the screen. There really isn't anyone else next to you. You make your money or you lose your money simply by looking at the screen and clicking that mouse, which is why it's so important. Human beings being very social creatures, it's really important to be creating a community of traders whereby we come together, we understand the problems, we celebrate our wins together, all right? And we essentially have we have like-minded people coming together. So essentially, I agree that it is lonely, but at the same time, how do you move away from that? We create a community of people who will trade, learn, share together.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
That was Mario Singh, the founder and CEO of FX1 Academy.
And that was pretty interesting over there, Soon Heng. So would you trade in Forex?
Well, you know, you need to have a lot of information to trade well, and such information always isn't really available.
I mean, even with the internet and all that, why do you say this?
I was talking to this trader who was from HSBC a long time ago.
Okay.
And he said, you know, you hang around with people who go, and you are playing golf, and you talk to somebody from the central bank, and then they say, oh, you know, we're going to lower interest rate.
Okay. And it doesn't happen,
No, this is not information you and I are going to have, you know.
That's true. So what? Play golf?
Play golf.
Okay, up next, another financial fast fact.
The term today is countercurrency. The closer I get to you. This expression is used in the context of forex trading. When you trade US dollars for euros, they form the currency pair. In this currency pairing of US dollars and euros, the latter is considered the counter currency, or the currency used as the reference. In this pairing, units of counter currency, the euros, are compared to a single unit of the base currency, the US dollar. In this pairing, units of counter currency, the euros, are compared to a single unit of the base currency, the US dollar. At the present exchange rate, one US dollar will give you 0.77 euro. So this is a financial fast fact, countercurrency. If you have a term you'd like for us to research, write to ringgit@bfm.my.
Countercurrency, that's what I'm saying. Interesting one.
Well, especially in the context of forex trading, so you need to know which one is the countercurrency.
Interesting stuff there. Okay, that's the end of today's show for today. And tomorrow we'll have the property show that comes on at the same time as well. And we'll be continuing on the second part of an interview. This second part is with...
Yeah, Minister Azlan, the landlord. You know, last week he was here, he told us how he acquired his properties and all through auctions. So he buys low, medium-cost homes.
Okay.
And of course, with low, medium-cost homes, you are actually reaching out to a specific demographics. But the question is, what he does to them so that he can get premium rent.
But I mean, it's not so attractive as you put it already, isn't it? If they are low and medium-cost homes.
Yeah, yeah.
And no matter how you spruce them up or what you do with it, you may have...
Interesting. That's your gut feeling, right? If you have a low-cost place, you're not going to find the kind of renters who will pay you good premium rentals.
Right. So he
figures out a way to allow them to self-screen.
Okay.
And then he does something to the apartments.
Oh, interesting stuff. I thought he was going to buy the whole block. That way you can control the market, literally.
So he's done well. And he says all his properties are rented out.
Oh, okay. We'll find out tomorrow, same time. And what about next week on Ringgit?
Well, next week on Ringgit Incense, we'll be talking to a financial planner about crafting financial goals for 2012. Well, you know, we're coming to the end of the year.
Yes.
And it's time to think about our... Actually, we have been thinking about it earlier, but it's time for resolutions. But we also need to have financial resolutions.
You know what? The only financial goal... for everyone in Malaysia is just to make more money, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's very vague though. I mean, I think if you walk out of the office and then or go downstairs, ask anybody, say, what are your financial goals for next year? Yeah, make more money. But then the question is, how are you going to make more money? Otherwise, you know, when it's not defined, it's just a wish.
Okay, we'll find out together next week on Ringgit and Sense.
Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9. The Business Station. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.